Hallelujah. Come on, church. How many times has he taken you through the fire? How many times has he shown up just in time? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, it's a beautiful song, ladies. Thank you. Would you turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 11? Exodus chapter 11. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Exodus chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go. Hence, when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out, and hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And I want to preach for a few moments on the subject of our glorious future in Jesus Christ. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much this morning for everything you've done in this service. And I'm asking you now, Lord, for ability that I do not possess. I'm asking you for the divine enablement of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm praying today that this would be a life-changing day for us as individuals and for this church as a whole. For Lord, I believe you're getting ready to take us somewhere we've never been before. And Lord, we, if we really believe that, must act upon your word and we must prepare for it. And Lord, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus today to let the Holy Spirit of God rule and reign in this service. I'm asking today, Lord, that you'll open our eyes to what you want to do. And Lord, I pray that you'll show us one more time, nothing is impossible with you. That Lord, whatever you initially give us a revelation of, you're going to do. It is always so much greater and so much broader in scope than our finite human minds can comprehend. And Lord, I pray and you'll give us fresh vision today. Not a vision that comes from our heart, but your vision and your leading. And Lord, we know that we are your children. And we know that in you there is no changing. And Lord, we know we are secure in you and we know our future is secure. No matter what's going on in this world, we as believers are anchored in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we have a glorious and bright future ahead of us. Lord, we give you praise and glory today and just ask you to touch us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Erwin C. Rommel was one of the greatest generals in the Nazi regime. He was heralded by the vaunted scholars at West Point in America. As they studied the brilliance of his tactics in World War II, he was the mastermind behind many of the German advances who they occurred so quickly and with such speed. And it was due in part to Rommel's brilliance as a military tactician, but it was also due in part and that Germany was aided by demon spirits in her advances. When it came time for the Allied forces to try to drive the Germans from the coasts of Africa, Rommel had defeated the Allies time and time again in Africa, in the deserts of Africa. That was his nickname. He was known as the Desert Fox due to the swiftness of his tactics and his ability to get in and get out without a significant loss of his men. Rommel had authored several books on his philosophies of military strategy. And when it came time for General George S. Patton to face him in the deserts of Africa. Patton admired, Patton himself being a brilliant military strategian, well, that's not a good word for it, a brilliant military tactician. He read Rommel's books. He wanted to know how this man thought. And he went and dug in and read every book he could by Erwin C. Rommel. He wanted to get inside of his head. And then finally came the day when the Third Army of the Allied Forces met the armies of Erwin C. Rommel. And due to Patton's study of how he thought and what Rommel's tactics were, Patton was ready for him and gave the German army a crushing defeat and gave Rommel his first defeat ever in World War II. Years later, after the war, Patton was asked, what was the one thing that you learned that really changed the whole scope of the war, too, for the Allies when they defeated Rommel in the deserts of Africa? They asked Patton, what did you learn? What was the greatest thing you learned? And he said, I learned this, that you must know how your enemy thinks. And that if you engage your enemy on his own comfortable turf and you engage him using your tactics, you'll never defeat him. There's a great spiritual truth that we can parallel in Patton's words. Because we have an enemy. Satan, the adversary, desires nothing but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's so good at what he does. Ravon and I were talking just the other day about a loved one in our lives and how Satan got a grip on their life and still has a grip on their life and has wrecked their life. It's in total ruin today. And it's because of sin. It's because of the powers of darkness. And we pray for this individual. We want to see him come to Christ. That's the only hope there is. But we as the Church of Jesus Christ cannot engage the enemy using the tactics of man. I'm speaking the enemy of our soul. For if we try to fight using what's at human disposal, Satan will rout us and defeat us every single time. So the believer, it is incumbent upon the believer not to know how to fight, but it's incumbent upon the believer to know who fights for him. Praise God. Praise God. If we try to think that we can fight in human strength in any capacity when it comes to the enemy of our soul, we're going to go down to defeat. He will wreck us. He will ruin us. He's too powerful a foe. What do we have then at our disposal? My brothers and sisters, there's one thing and one thing only, the blood of Jesus Christ. Only through the blood are we victorious. Only through the blood do we have the assistance and the enablement of the blessed Holy Spirit, who He Himself will give us the victory that Christ has already won. That's one thing we as children of God must know and understand. When the enemy of our soul comes against us, as the Bible says, the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. How many times in the Old Testament did God tell Israel, today the Lord your God will fight for you? Child of God, anchor yourself in Christ, trust in Him, and show up on the battlefield and watch what He'll do. Praise God. He doesn't want us to sit on the sidelines. He requires us to show up on the battlefield. Sometimes that's tough for us because the battlefield's a scary place, ain't it, Michelle? People get wounded. Things get blown up. It gets ugly. A battlefield is an ugly place. But when you go in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ, as this Bible declares in the book of Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye might be able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. Notice it says put on the armor of God. We got no armor. I remember there for a while there was some churches in this foolishness where they'd have you come to church. Remember that, Phyllis? And they'd say, we're going to teach you spiritual warfare. Okay, first you come, and now we're going to scare Satan. We're going to put on the helmet of salvation. Now act like you're picking up a helmet and putting it on. That's what they'd tell people to do. Now put on your breastplate of righteousness. Now put on your feet with the gospel of peace. Have your feet shod. They would literally tell people to do this, thinking that would scare the enemy off. He's not scared a bit of that, because the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. We don't have any. It's His armor. It's His strength. It's His power. It's His might. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So, if we try to fight using our tactics, using our own armor, it's going to be a laughable defeat. But in the Lord we're strong. In the Lord He will fight for us. I feel the Holy Spirit telling me to linger here for just a moment before I move on. The Lord will fight for you. If you will believe Him, Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And what He will do is He will give you that victory. Hallelujah. No matter what you may be facing, no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how overwhelming it might seem, Jesus Christ addressed it all at the cross of Calvary. That's why we must preach the cross. The cross of Christ is not a doctrine. The cross is the foundation of all doctrine. It's at Calvary our victory comes. It's at Calvary our strength comes. It's at Calvary our overcoming power comes. Hence, if we have our faith anchored in that, there can never be any defeat. Praise God. There can never be any defeat for the child of God if he has his faith anchored in the right place. But too often, we try to fight the enemy using human power. Now I've got to stop and preach here for just a minute. Point one, we have no holiness of our own. There's not a one of us in this building, nor there's never going to be a believer who comes into the kingdom that has one iota of holiness on his own. The only holiness we have or ever will possess is the shed blood of Jesus Christ being applied to us. That's what makes us holy. It's not what we do or don't do. So many times believers go down to defeat because they allow pride and arrogance to swell up in them, because they think that I am going to overcome and I'm going to live a victorious life based upon my holy living. And almost without fail, without exception, that believer immediately goes into legalism. Without fail. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, now let me tell you, it's going to get ugly here for all of us. Hold on. Because we've all done this before, if we'll be honest. I'm going to look down my nose at Brother So-and-so over there. He just ain't quite as holy as I am. I've been in church 5 times this month. He's only made it once. Well, Sister So-and-so, you know, I've got 6 Jesus bumper stickers on my car. She don't put any Jesus bumper stickers on her car. And in the spirit, we think, I'm so much better than they are. I'm so much closer to God. Or else we think, do I dare do this? Yeah, I'll do it. Because I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to show us human nature fighting in the flesh. And it is laughable. It's completely laughable. Well, you know, I've got 27 crosses on my Facebook space. And so-and-so don't have any crosses on her Facebook space. You get the point of what I'm talking about. I think you do. It's not what we do or don't do that makes us holy before God. And Satan lays a trap for the believer to try to get the believer to think his holiness comes from what he's doing and that he's just a little bit closer to God, has just a little bit more inroad to God because of how good or how special they are. You are a fool if you believe that. It's only in the blood of Jesus. It's only in the blood of Jesus. Thank God it's not our dress length. It's not our hair length. It's not the cut of our clothes. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you start to believe junk, like I've just proceeded with, you're going to go down to defeat in areas of your Christian life because you're walking in pride and arrogance and legalism, and the Holy Spirit will not help you in any capacity. Every victory that comes, child of God, is going to come because of what Jesus did at the cross. Every blessing we're ever going to get is going to come because of what Jesus did at the cross. Every good thing that ever comes our way is going to come because of what Jesus did at the cross. And we as humans must know we can do nothing to earn His favor and blessing. We can do nothing to earn a holy standing with Him. It's all predicated upon our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. When your faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it will produce changes in your life. But we don't know where our brother or sister is in their walk. And the Lord's been dealing with me heavily about this. I mean heavily in my heart. To be more patient with people. To not to look down my nose at somebody, because there is such a spiritual pride in all of us. Oh, it's ugly. And we look for some reason to exalt ourselves and to look down at someone else. And the Lord has convicted me of that this week and told me this. Here's why I'm touching on this. I want to take that church to levels and places it's never been to before. Not that we'll ever get any higher than Jesus, but God's really wanting to do something with Crossway Community Church. But as always, here's how I knew I heard from the Lord. He told me this first. He said, first, you've got to repent of your spiritual pride, Greg, and you've got to stand before them and call them to repent of their spiritual pride. That's number one. There's nothing more special about you all because you're walking in the truth. It is my blood that has made you holy. It is my blood that has made you righteous. It has been your faith in my blood that has caused the Holy Spirit to flow and to guide you into my truth. There's nothing special about you all outside of me. My, that crushed me. Oh, now come on. I'm preaching a whole lot better. It's getting too quiet in here. And I thought, Lord, forgive us. Because I've been crying out to Him and asking Him, Lord, I've got to see revival. I've got to see it happen, Lord. I know there's people out there in this community that are dying for this gospel. And here's another thing I believe He spoke to me. Church, we're going to grow and we're going to win souls. Not by doing outreaches or things like that per se in an organized fashion. Here's what the Lord showed me that we should do. Is that we should allow His glorious light to shine in our lives, and He's going to present us with opportunities on the job and in the community, one-on-one in the trenches, and give us a chance to tell people about the message of the cross. That's how it's going to happen. It's not going to happen any other way. We would like, I'm sure, for it to come another way, but God's got a great future plan for this church. He's got a great future plan for this church. We haven't even scratched the surface yet of all He's going to do. Hallelujah. But we must first repent of all spiritual pride and throw ourselves at the foot of the cross afresh and anew and say, Lord, we don't know what to do. We can't go in. We can't come out. We have no clue except You lead and guide us. Lord, we want to win the community, but You've got to go before us. And Lord, our lips will not be slothful. When You present us with an opportunity, we'll tell them Your answer is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what will win this community. That's what will build this church, is letting Christ come alive in us. Now let me get to the biblical portion of our story this morning. Chapter 11, verse 1. Watch this. I'm sure, and I thought this at one time myself, I'm sure many of you might have fallen trap, possibly, not many of you, maybe some, I don't know, maybe all of us, have fallen for the trap Well, if we just had a miracle happen every now and then in our church, that'd grow it. When we begin reading chapter 11 of the book of Exodus, Moses has been before Pharaoh some 10 times. Miracle after miracle has been worked by the hand of God. And there's been no change in the heart of Pharaoh. What are you telling us, Pastor? I'm telling you, miracles don't produce salvations. That's what's wrong with most of the church today. They believe that. They believe if we can just put on a big enough show, if God would just do something, something miraculous, something astounding, and they spend hours and hours trying to work it up and trying to force it in. And they may draw a crowd, but it doesn't produce a born-again experience. And as Moses has now been before Pharaoh some 10 times, the Lord tells him, Moses, now he's going to let you go. It's about to happen now. With a mighty hand, I'm going to bring you out. And watch what he tells them. Verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. The word borrow there in the Hebrew text, the word is sheol. It formed in parts of West Virginia and Kentucky. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I thought of when I read shawl. I thought, y'all, oh, okay, there were Southerners. No. Sheol is the word. And it means to ask, make a request of. Because if Israel was going to borrow what the Egyptians had, hence that has the connotation on it, they're going to have to pay it back. When God works, he doesn't cause anybody to have to borrow. If it's in a spiritual sense, he gives freely with no payback. And in the preceding 9 miracles that God has worked before Pharaoh, trying to get Pharaoh to let Israel go, Egypt, the once mightiest nation on earth, has been plundered by Almighty God. And so much so that even the people of Egypt have respect now. Even though Pharaoh wouldn't listen to God, the people of Egypt were smart enough to see, hey, there's something about this Hebrew God because we've lost nearly everything we've had. There's something about this Hebrew man by the name of Moses. He is who he says he is. He's a great man of God. I wish our Pharaoh would listen to him, because they've nearly lost everything they've had and held dear. And God goes and tells them, you ask. You ask for the silver and the gold. And if you study Egyptian culture, you'll find that even the men of Egypt wore numerous gold bands around their necks, their arms, their legs, because it was so plentiful in the land. Egypt was so, so wealthy before God started demanding that the people of Israel be let go. And he said, you go ask of them the gold and the silver, because I've plundered this nation for you, in essence, is what he was telling them. And I'm going to bless you with the spoils of the battle that I have fought. I'm going to bless you with the spoils of the battle that I have fought. Sometimes, church, sometimes, this is for somebody, perhaps several this morning. Maybe you've been praying and seeking God about something, and time after time it appears that things have just gotten worse and worse and worse, and you can't understand why. That's the same situation that Israel was in. Moses kept announcing to Israel, God's going to deliver. I'm going before Pharaoh. Another plague would hit. What would happen? It got worse for the children of Israel. This happened some 10 times. But now God said, all that's been going on, I have been plundering Egypt for your sake. And I'm about to not only bring you out of Egypt, Egypt being a type of the world, I'm not only about to bring you out of Egypt, but you're going to walk out laden down with all of the wealth that they have used to worship their false gods with. I'm going to turn it all over to you. Praise God. What the Holy Spirit wants you to know this morning is that as it appears to have been getting worse and worse, with no deliverance coming, you hold on to God because God's been fighting your battle. God's been fighting your battle for you. And there's going to come that time, and maybe this is why the Lord does it the way he does it. When it finally came time and he said, now there's going to be no more going before Pharaoh. He told him over in chapter 12 exactly what to do. You know the story. He said, you go and you kill the lamb of the first year. And every man, woman, every man, a lamb for every house. And every man in Egypt is to take the blood of that lamb and strike it upon his door. Now this blesses me. He said, you strike it on the doorposts. And he said, you strike it across the top. What have I just made? A cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The miracles didn't produce deliverance and the blessing of God. But when it came to the blood, when it came to the blood, hallelujah. Pharaoh expelled them from Egypt and they walked out with all the wealth of Egypt and the fullness of God's blessing. Hallelujah. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Don't fight in the flesh. It's the blood. It's the blood is where your victory is. It's the blood is where your blessing is, church. Quit looking for God to just do something crazy and out of the blue. He will do things very dramatically so at times. At other times, it's a process. His blessing is. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants you to see. You're in a process right now. That's why things haven't, it seems to be getting worse and worse. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on to the Lord. He's working you out a deliverance plan. He's working you out a great blessing. Hold on to Him. Don't let go. That's the message for this church. Shannon and I the other day in Ravana were sat around talking about some things. And Shannon brought it up. She said, I've never seen nothing like it in a little church like ours, the way the people have been attacked. Satan has tried everything to dissuade this church, to tear it apart, this little body right here. Some 30, 40, 50 believers, who knows? I quit counting. I don't worry about it. I worry about the size of the spirit in our services, not the size of the people in our pews. Or not the number of the people in our pews. I worry about your size. I'm worried about my size right now. And the Lord's helping me on that. Haven't weighed myself, and I can tell I've lost some more weight. Everything's getting real droopy. I've got to wear belts now. And had on a pair of shorts the other day. This is the glory of the cross again. To God be the glory. Walking around in a pair of shorts that have fit me tight for years. And I realized yesterday, just bumming around the house in them, these things are about to fall off of me. I can't go outside with these on. Because when I stand up straight, they just wanted to... That would have been an ugly sight for everyone. But God's working it out. He's working it out in your life right now. Hold on to Him. He's working it out in His church right now. And there's one thing that I want every demon in hell to know this morning. We're still here. We're still here. And we're still proclaiming the blood. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But God told Israel, go ask of them. And they're going to give it to you. And I'm going to send you forth. In other words, in effect, here's the crux of what I feel the Holy Spirit wants us to see this morning. He told Israel, you get prepared for what I'm about to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go before you. But you prepare yourself for it. You start to act like you really believe that I'm going to get you out of here. Crossway, that's exactly what we need to do. I'm asking you to believe God for revival with me. This word says, if two or more can agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. I'm asking you to believe Him with me for revival. You know, sometimes the things we ask the Lord for, as I've looked back on it over my life, in prayer, sometimes the things we ask Him for are so worldly and so selfish. But what I'm presenting to you this morning, it's something that is not worldly nor selfish, because we're asking for souls. We're asking for souls. And revival always begins at the house of God. We must repent of any spiritual pride that's in us first, church. I mean any. If we think that we're more holy and we're more better off than somebody else because of maybe something we know, maybe some biblical knowledge we've gained, we're not. It's only the blood of Jesus. Let me put it to you this way. I preached it this way for years, but the Lord gave me another genre of thought on it this week. For years, I preached that the only difference between me and the alcoholic laying in the street is the blood of Jesus. That, of course, meaning without the blood of Christ, before God, I'm no better off than the alcoholic. For years, you've heard me address false doctrine and lies that are permeating the church today and foolishness going on in the church today. But I want to submit to you this morning, Crossway, without the blood of Jesus, we're no better than any of them. Without the blood of Jesus, we're no better off than they are. Hallelujah. So we have no reason for pride. It's all in Him. We have what we have because of Him, because of what He did at the cross. Hallelujah. The truth that we have, the flow and movement of the Holy Ghost, is because of what He did at the cross and our faith in it. And were it not for that, we would have nothing either. We'd be into foolishness ourselves. We must repent of any spiritual pride because God's getting ready to take us somewhere. And I don't know how many will believe with me. I believe most of you will, I really do. But I learned years ago, there's not everybody wants a real move of God. Not everybody really wants it. Especially in the church. Why? Because moves of God get real uncomfortable. Moves of God demand repentance on the part of the believers. A lot of times believers don't really want to repent of nothing. They just want to sweep it under the carpet and act like it never happened. And most of all, believers don't want to repent of spiritual pride, of thinking, well, I'm more holy than so-and-so, or I'm better off than so-and-so. Strutting around in spiritual pride, oh, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. And the Lord brought me to the point this week, I'm just going to be flat honest with you, where I want revival more than I want anything else. I don't care if God raises somebody else up even to preach in this church. I just want to be in revival. I want to see God move, and I want to see His Spirit bringing people into the kingdom. I want to see our teens, like just down at Baton Rouge, hitting this altar every service, crying out to God, and us gathering around them, and us praying for one another. Hallelujah. That's our life. That's our strength, church. And if we try to fight the enemy in any other way, we're going to go down to defeat. We're going to be using his tactics. But when it comes to the blood, that's what the Lord wants us to see. When it comes to the shed blood of Christ, therein is our victory. Therein is our hope. Therein is every blessing. And sure enough, Israel, when it came to the blood, and the death angel moved through Egypt. You know the story. The firstborn of Egypt died. I read an article this week, an archaeological article. In 1700 in Egypt, archaeological teams found about 500 mass graves. Mass graves. And in the discovery of these mass graves, after they did all of their scientific testing, they found an amazing fact about the remains that were found in these mass graves. It stupefied the scientific world. They said, it's obvious from what we can find that all these people died at nearly the same time. Think of that. Nearly all of these people that we found in these 500 mass graves, they died at nearly the same time. There's a perfect explanation for that when you look to the Word of God. Because when the death angel moved through Egypt, every firstborn living soul in Egypt died, even among the animals. They died. And then Pharaoh said, when it had come to the blood, I'll let you go. Get out. I don't want any part of you. It wasn't the miracles that changed his heart to let Israel go. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. There's such a lesson in that for us. And when Israel walked out, they'd gone 400 years without a payday. There's been times in my life I've gone a couple of months and thought I was going to die. Israel went 400 years without a payday. But when God got ready to write their check, they walked out with every bit of wealth Egypt had left. Praise God. We've got a bright future, Crossway. But it's predicated, I believe, upon us doing some things we need to change. We need to get ready. We need to act like God is really going to send us revival. In other words, we've got to get ready for the people He's going to send us. There's some of you He's gifted and talented and called. It's going to take every one of us. It's going to take every single one of us. It's going to take some hard work physically sometimes. It's going to mean us giving up things we personally want to do. To do something for the house of God. But oh, the eternal reward of it. And oh, the blessing that's going to come to this church because we put Him first in everything. There's something very personal. I'm not going to share it with you right now that I've been seeking God about and asking the Lord, Lord, is this what You want me to do? And it's scary. But Lord, is that really what You want me to do? And pray for me. I'm seeking His face on it. I don't want to be out on some fleshly whim. I don't believe I am, but I want to seek His face on it. Because I really believe He has great things coming for this church and for the people in it. Well, number one, repent before Him and admit, Lord, it's not our talent. It's not even the glorious message that we preach. It's Your shed blood that makes us, that's the only thing that makes us any different than any other church. As a church, we're anchored in Christ and Him crucified. Me as an individual, Lord, forgive me of any spiritual pride that's been there, because I'm no better off than a wino or a prostitute. It's only the blood of Jesus that makes me holy. Lord, help me not to look down my nose at my brother and sister who may be struggling. I'm closing now. And I feel like I haven't even got halfway through this message, but I feel the Lord telling me to go to the altar call. I'm reminded in the book of Acts of how the Apostle Peter, when he was given the vision on the housetop, three times the Lord gave him the same vision. He saw a giant sheet come down from heaven that was full of what would be unclean animals in the Jewish diet under the Old Testament law. And he said, take Peter, kill and eat. And three times Peter told him, not so, Lord. Think of how, you know, we think of these Bible characters sometimes as being so far removed from us. spiritually speaking, and they were great men of God. I'm trying to get you to see how fallen all human flesh is. Peter, the great apostle Peter, preached on the day of Pentecost, used to author several books in the New Testament, tells the Lord Jesus Christ no. Think of that. Tells the Lord Jesus Christ no. When the Lord Himself tells him, take Peter, kill and eat. Peter had a problem with spiritual pride. The Lord was trying to work that out of Peter. I've become convinced in a lot of my difficulties that occur in my personal life, I'm convinced the Lord's trying to work spiritual pride out of me. Perhaps that's what He's doing in your life. He's trying to work spiritual pride out of you. He gave Peter this vision three times it happened. Three times. Not once. Three times. Peter told him, no, Lord. He said, all the law have I kept from my youth up. You know, I've never eaten an unclean animal, Lord, and I'm not going to now. But Peter, the great preacher of the first Pentecostal message, the author of several books of the New Testament, had forgotten the work of the cross. And that it's through Jesus' shed blood he now had liberty to eat whatever he wanted to eat. But in his, see, Peter had his faith in the fact, even though he was a mighty man of God. That's why I say a person can be used mightily by God. And the church becomes, we humans become so enamored with that. Maybe because somebody can preach good, maybe because they're used in a gift of the Spirit, maybe because they can sing good, whatever their talent, they're using in the kingdom of God. We have such a tendency as humans to become so enamored with that and think, oh, they're just so spiritual. They live at Jesus' side. Well, their faith is in him, they do. They're still fallen creatures, no matter who they are, no matter who they are. You get close enough to anybody, and I've learned this, you get close enough to anybody right now that you look up to or maybe you have on a pedal spiritually, you get close enough to them, you're going to see they're just as human as you are. Peter was just as human as we are. Three times it took the Lord to get through this great man of God. I'm not trying to take anything away from how God used him and what a great man of God he was. I'm trying to get you to see we're all human. We all have things we need to repent of sometimes. It is so easy for us to shift our faith onto our performance. And finally, the Lord told him, after showing him this vision three times, and three times Peter tells him no. The Lord Jesus Christ himself speaks to Peter and says, Peter, what my blood is cleansed, call thou not common. Wow. That's how we must view one another in the church. No matter how weak and stumbling, and no matter how we order our own life spiritually, there's going to be things that I can do without conviction that might curl your hair. Really, and you think, oh, well, I would never. Yeah, maybe not in that thing, but you're over here and here and here doing that. See, none of us have any right to brag on ourselves before God. None of us have any right to look down our nose at another believer whom God is in the process of sanctifying and building in him. Now, we all may be at different levels along the road of sanctification. I'm not saying that at all. But wherever God has us, we still have no right to look down at another person. That's what the Lord was trying to show Peter. And Peter got it finally, thank the Lord. He got it. He said, Peter, go to the house of Cornelius, go to a Gentile, Peter, and preach this gospel to him. And Peter went then. But the Lord had to show him. The Lord had to show him. Peter, without my shed blood, you're no better off. It's my shed blood, Peter, and your faith in it that has given you everything you have. And it's been hard for me to preach this day because I love you all. But this is what the Lord has showed me and identified to me. I believe. You test it, you judge it. Two things at this altar call today I'm asking you to do, Crossway. Number one, if you feel, if you honestly feel in your heart, you need to repent of spiritual pride, do it. Number two, believe God with me for revival, because we're asking him for something that's his very heartbeat. We're asking him for the souls of our lost loved ones. And ask him, I should add one third thing to that. Ask him, what do you want me to do, Lord? If you really feel it. If you don't, then just come, be a part of the altar call and pray and let the Lord touch you. He will. But I'm speaking to those of you who share a heartbeat for revival, who really, really want to see a move of God take place. It's time, and he's ready. And he's telling us, prepare, prepare, get ready. I'll fight the battle. I've already fought it and won it. And I'll go before you. But will you prepare? Will you prepare? Will you repent? Would everyone please stand? Father, in the name of Jesus today, we come to you. And I'm just going to asked you, I just really don't feel the need today to call everyone to the front, just right where you stand. If you as an individual need to repent of spiritual pride, and the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart, showing you, Lord, I'm guilty of it. I've looked down my nose at times at what I perceive to be a weaker brother or sister. And I've let that spiritual pride swell up on the inside of me to think I'm just a little bit better than they are in the kingdom of God. Ask Him, repent of it. Repent of that sin. It is a sin. Because God wants to move. I had to repent of mine this week. As your pastor, I'm not asking you to do something I haven't already done. Father, in the name of Jesus today, we come as a body. And Lord, I ask you to forgive us of any spiritual pride. Lord, we should identify false doctrine, and we should point out errors in the church that will lead people away from the truth. I'm not saying that, but Lord, it has been your grace and mercy and your shed blood that has provided us with the illumination of the Holy Spirit to see that truth, Lord. It wasn't because we're so smart or we're so much more intellectual. No. It was an act of your great grace, Lord. It was an act of your great grace. Forgive us as a church, Lord, if we've done that. And I know as an individual I have, Lord, and I publicly repent of it and ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse me and change me in that area. Lord, now I'm standing on your word. And it says, where two or more of you can agree on earth as touching anything they would ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Lord, I'm not asking for the glorification of Crossway Community Church. I'm asking for your kingdom. I'm asking, Lord, so that we would be privileged to see a move of God that's unparalleled. A move of the Holy Spirit that changes hearts and lives of our loved ones and those in this community, Lord. I just don't want to see us sit here, Lord Jesus, holding on to the truth week after week and not getting it out to anybody else. Lord, I'm asking you in our lifestyles, keep us sensitive to the opportunities to further the gospel that I know you're going to give. And Lord, let it be a revival of righteousness. Let it be a revival of holiness. And let it be a revival of souls, Lord. That's what I'm asking you for, Lord. Change us first, Father. But oh God, give us a burden for souls. Give us a burden for souls, Lord Jesus, like never before. And give us, as I know you will, the divine empowerment of the Holy Spirit to know when you're given opportunity, Lord, to spread this gospel to those we work with, to those who are our neighbors, to anyone we come in contact with, Lord. And Father, I'm asking you to give us, because I believe you're going to answer this prayer, Lord. I believe in my heart, as your word says. I believe in my heart, and I believe there's others believing with me for a great move of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm asking you that you would call everyone in this body to their position in the kingdom, to whatever work you have for them to do in this move of God. I ask that there would be a renewed mindset of Crossway Community Church, of preparation for what I believe you're going to send. And Lord, by that preparation, by that desire to want to prepare, Lord, I'm meaning we structure ourselves and we prepare our structure under your guidance, Lord, to prepare for what you're going to send. And that we would begin to function in a very short proximity of time, like we were a church running 500 people. Not that there's anything in numbers, Lord. I'm just saying that's part of the preparation I believe you're calling us to, is to get ready, because you're going to answer the prayer that we've prayed. And it'll be an act of faith. It'll be an act of faith on our part to say, we really believe God's sending this and we need to get ourselves ready. Let there be a spirit of expectancy in our hearts, Lord, of what you're going to do. Forgive us of slothfulness, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for having my attention diverted to other things. Let's refocus. Let's repent. And let's have revival. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, would you lift your hands and worship him? Right now at the close of service, I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to say this. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, ask of me right now. This is for you personally. Ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Ask of me, and I will answer. And I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to my power that's working in you. I believe that's the word of the Lord to you this morning. And don't be afraid to ask him big right now. I feel faith in this sanctuary. Lord, in the name of Jesus this morning, to anyone who needs a healing of any kind, in the name of Jesus, we believe you for it. To anyone who needs a financial blessing, in the name of Jesus, we believe you for that right now. Lord, to those who are praying for lost loved ones to come to Christ, we believe you, Lord, for that right now. Whatever it is, Lord, we believe and know that you're going to hear and answer, because you love us. Because we are recipients of your grace. We are your children. And we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you're about to do. And I pray, Lord, that this faith, for everyone who shares this hunger for revival, I pray it'll be translated into preparation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise for souls that are going to come. I give you praise for Holy Ghost baptisms that are about to occur. I give you praise for healings. But Lord, most of all, I give you praise for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.